Good morning. Well, I'd say this morning we're doing a little bit of fellowshipping, which is really good. But in order to get to times of fellowship, we also need times when we are relaxed and chill, when we have downtime. We have this wonderful scripture from our Lord that says, "Come to me, all who are tired and weary, those who are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." But I think also not rest. I think once we come to the Lord and we lay those things at his feet, that also we get that renewed sense of energy and purpose and fellowship and joy. And so this morning I am glad that this is a day when we get to join together after worship and celebrate with one another the Lord's good day. And it will be a fun, festive time for all who have helped make that the fellowship hall come to life with wonderful color. Thank you. And for those of you who are visiting with us this morning, apparently we have had sound demons with us for the last several weeks. We are working on that, so don't get discouraged. I'm not going to ask what you said, Margaret, but it is good to have you here this morning. And so I want to ask you to take a look at your bulletins. There are any number of activities, events, and actually, let's don't call them activities, events, let's call them ministries. There are many, many ministries that are happening in the congregation as we, believe it or not, begin to round out this thing that we call summer. And as we head into fall. So take a moment to look at those and particularly take notice of the Senior Source Seminar. They came back in June, I believe, and they are just wonderful presenters, and they have good, useful information that I think so many of us need. And so if you can, mark that on your calendar and come. By way of prayer request, you see already listed in your bulletin, we certainly remember Betty as she is still in North Carolina after the death of her stepfather. And we are hoping that she will be back with us soon, but our prayers are still with her. And then I saw Dr. Laporte in the hospital on Thursday. He looked good, sounded good. He is waiting tests that will happen on Monday to see. He's just having some stomach issues, and so they're doing some tests to see what's going on there, and hopefully they can end his pain. A couple of other requests, actually three. Mary Claire Lawton is a 10-year-old cousin of the Carlin Blair family, and she has been diagnosed with juvenile diabetes. So at 10, that's a hard road to travel for a lifetime, and so please keep Mary Claire in your prayers. And then also another cousin of theirs, Johnny Langston, is also just suffering with lots and lots of issues and ailments. And so please keep Johnny and his wife, Frida Langston, in prayers. And then Jacob just shared with me that one of their neighbors has cancer, and her name, Melissa. Jacob, thank you for reminding us to pray for Charlie then. And then last but not least, we keep Becky and Chad and Mason and Hannah in our prayers this week as they are ending up their summer travels. Mason is back from Triennium now. All of the kids, they're on their way back. We'll be here this afternoon. And so for all of them and for the Hensley family, we ask prayers. As we prepare ourselves to give thanksgiving to God, to worship, to enjoy this day, I ask that you turn with me to a time of prayer. I ask you to simply let yourself let go of everything else that is on your mind right now. If you can, push it back as far as possible and enjoy the presence of the Spirit today. Let us pray. God, for everything there is a time, and time is now our most precious commodity. Our clocks are always running from birth to death, during times of joy and sorrow, and work and play, during times of business and pleasure and speech and silence. Time runs during worship and church activities. There is this tick-tocking of the clock. But we're like Martha with all of our long to-do list, and so please, Lord, slow us down. And for now, simply remind us that only one thing is needful, that we be still before you and know that you are God. Amen.
Thank you. Please join me in the opening sentences printed in your bulletins. We gather for worship, trusting that God is with us. We gather to become more alert to God's presence in our lives. We gather to gain strength for the journey ahead.
And so there they are in the Bible, men and women who are weak, who are foolish, who are prone as much to sin as you and I are. Every page, every story reveals something about their brokenness. Yet every page and every story also tells us that there is the one who longs to mend us, the one who longs to make us whole. And so together, as we are confessing our sins, let us be clear that God's reconciling love is already at work within us. Let us pray.
Gracious and loving God, you continually provide us
God hears the difficult truths we have named aloud and in the silence of our hearts. Now let the wonderful gift of God's forgiveness flow through you. May the abundance of God's mercy and grace set you free to serve God with love. Thanks be to God. A reading from the 8th chapter of Amos, verses 1 through 12. This is what the Lord God showed me, a basket of summer fruit. He said, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then the Lord said to me, the end has come upon my people Israel. I will never again pass them by. The songs of the temple shall become wailings in that day, says the Lord God. The dead bodies shall be many, cast out in every place. Be silent. Hear this, you that trample on the needy and bring to ruin the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath so that we may offer wheat for sale? We will make the ephah small and the shekel great and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and selling the sweepings of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, Surely I will never forget any of their deeds. Shall not the land tremble on this account, and everyone mourn who lives in it, and all of it rise like the Nile, and be tossed about and sink again like the Nile of Egypt? On that day, says the Lord God, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. I will turn your feasts into mourning and all your songs into lamentation. I will bring sackcloth on all loins and baldness on every head. I will make it like the mourning for an only son and the end of it like a bitter day. The time is surely coming, says the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This theme of hospitality and time are the things that bind our scriptures together this morning. The passage that Wilson read from Amos, and now this passage from the 10th chapter of Luke, verses 38 through 42, the story of the two sisters, Mary and Martha. Listen now for the word of the Lord. Now as they, the disciples and Jesus, went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, and so she came to him and she asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister left me to do all of the work? Tell her then, come help me." But the Lord answered her, and he said, "Martha, Martha, you are so worried and distracted about many things, and there is need for only one thing. And Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." I ask that we turn our hearts to God in prayer. God, you have given us this word, the words of Amos, the words of Luke. And so now we ask that you give us teachable, humble, obedient hearts, that what you have said and what you will reveal through your Spirit to us through these readings and through interpretation, we pray that we will do as you have commanded us to do. Amen. The world is weary. People are tired and weary. I am tired and weary. What about you? Well, how's that for a "this is the day that the Lord has made"? Let us rejoice and give thanks to God. That's kind of, you know, but we've got to get to that place where we are saying, "Yes, I'm tired, but this is the day that the Lord has made." I think, unfortunately, those words are maybe a little more true than most of us want to admit. And if you are like me, I am still trying to break out of this cycle, of this crazy warp speed that our world is in. And I'm not sure how to do it except by coming to the Lord, who says, "Come to me, all who are tired and weary, and I will give you rest." So a question for us today. Are you missing Sunday Sabbath? A small s. I am. I am missing that day that the Lord commanded us to be a time of Sabbath, small s, a time to rejuvenate and renew, a time to reset, and a time to enjoy and to rejoice. Above all else, a day, this day that we have been given, is that day together in community with other disciples to be recharged and rejuvenated, reset, and to enjoy together as we give thanksgiving to God. Much as we will do as we celebrate together and enjoy each other's company following worship. Sunday, the Christian Sabbath, is that time that has been commanded to us to be observed, but not just observed, to keep. And so there's a second question that follows the first one. Are you missing Sunday Sabbath? Are you tired and weary and missing Sunday Sabbath because of what the world has thrown at us during the week? Or are we tired and weary because Sunday, well, not because of what Sunday does to us, but because the weekly world has captured our time, so much so that we feel like Sunday now is our catch-up day? It's that time when we are supposed to do anything but rest. I think it's a question that I could ask Martha, because she is obviously a kindred spirit of me. And I also think that Martha did not know how to rest, and that she missed Sabbath rest. Just like last week's story of the Good Samaritan that both comforted us and challenged us, this story of these two Eminem sisters also is making me little appropriately uncomfortable. I'm better than I used to be, but I still could use a healthy dose of Martha, or of Mary and me. And I don't think it's by coincidence that as we are reading this story of Mary and Martha, that it comes just after that story of the Good Samaritan and what it means to love with all that is within us the Lord, and to love neighbor. It sets us up to be reminded that it takes both. It takes a heart connection and that willingness to listen for the word of the Lord, but then it also takes that hand connection, that willingness to do what the word of the Lord commands us to do, and to love the Lord with all that is within us, and to love neighbor as self. It takes a Mary. It takes a Martha. But more than that, it takes a community of Marys and Marthas and Mikes and Marvins. We are in this together. The work, the play, the rest, everything, the fellowship. We are in this together. Cynthia Jarvis is a former seminary professor, and this is what she has to say about this Mary and Martha story from a communal sense. She writes, "A community that is hospitable to Christ is a community marked by the attention that it gives to God's word. A church that has been led to be worried and distracted by many things inevitably will become a community that dwells in the shallows of frantic programs, anxious work, and events that are designed simply to perpetuate the institution." And all of these distractions and worries, they breed weariness in your body and in your mind, but even greater, they breed weariness in spirit. All because too often the church is missing the one needful thing, attention to Jesus. I'm going to stop right here and just say this. In 10 years that I've been here, we have been distracted and worried about many things, but never have I felt that we were trying to leave God out of the equation on anything that we have done. And yet, we're still tired and we're weary. So what are we missing? What's not there? I really am coming to believe that we are missing Sunday Sabbath, Sunday rest, Sunday rejuvenation, a day that we take God up on the offer to rest and to cease and enjoy. And that brings up a tough question, a concern I believe needs prayer. Are we getting reset and renewed and recommitted on Sundays because we are enjoying the Lord's day? Or do we too often walk away from Sundays, just another day, another meeting, another task to be done? Do not get me wrong. We need task and we need work and we need meetings. I know all of that. But my question for us is, do we need it all on Sundays? I'm missing my Sunday Sabbath. Is it just me? The day that should revive us because we are in community, where we are helping one another bear each other's loads, where we are sharing prayers, where we are encouraging one another with the hope of the Lord, is way too often, I fear, a day of just exhaustion. Sabbath keeping rest, whether it is in that sense of individual or communal time with God, isn't a heavy-handed commandment. It's God's way of giving us every opportunity to fully understand and live and enjoy what it means to love with our whole hearts. And I believe that this passage that follows Mary and Martha's story is no accident either. Next week, Wilson is going to be preaching from Luke's gospel about the Lord's Prayer. And so we have the story of the Good Samaritan. We have the Lord's Prayer, and sandwiched in between there is this wonderful story of Martha and Mary. The story about loving neighbor so much so that it can be tiring. And yet Jesus says, do as he has done. That Lord's Prayer that follows after this story is our reminder of God's provisions for us already, and even and most surely the provision of rest and renewal. So are we opening up that gift that's been given to us? We need renewal. Jesus needed renewal. According to the Gospels, Jesus and the disciples spent quite a bit of time at Mary and Martha and Lazarus' home. It was obvious that place where he could go, he could relax, he could unwind, he could just be who he was. And no matter who they were, Jesus loved them each the way they were, unique and special. Martha, whose name means lady of the house, as we know, is that kind of take-charge personality, one that was bold enough in her time to meet Jesus at the door, a man. She was characterized as being pragmatic. She was concerned with the smallest of details, And we know, on the other hand, that Mary has been considered to be idealistic, the one who is always looking for that bigger picture. Martha, as a doer who liked to stay busy, expressing herself by doing for others. Mary simply likes to be. She was thoughtful, contemplative, expressing herself by her willingness to sit down and give another person full attention. Martha's the one who bolts out of the door to meet Jesus before he gets to the house and sort of lashes out at Jesus, saying, "If you had not taken your time and been here on time, my time, then our brother would not be dead." Mary remains at home, but when she sees Jesus through the faith of her heart, she also says, "Lord, if you had been here, we would not have lost our brother." But then she also says, "I weep." And Jesus weeps with her. They're two different personalities, but they are loved by the Lord all the same. It's no secret that Martha has a bit of edge to her, and it shows up in her frustration with her sister. "Lord, make her help me. She's doing nothing but sitting pretty at your feet." This story is also our reminder that busyness robs us, and I think it robs us of our Sunday Sabbath, that time when we are asked, given permission, encouraged to sit at the feet of Jesus and to do it here together. I may step on some toes here, but I'm going to step lightly maybe. As people of faith, we have been commanded to keep the Sabbath, our Sunday, to keep it holy. And Jesus tells us to do that with one another. And I realize I am, as they say, preaching to the choir. But maybe if you hear it in a new light, you can pass it on also. Together in this sanctuary on the Lord's Day is what we are called to do. Could not making Sunday worship a priority be robbing us of the fullness and renewal that God has for us? And could making everything else but worshiping a priority on Sunday be robbing us of Sabbath rest? Has our "I'm tired of driving from Combine" or "I'm tired of driving across the interstate" state of mind caused us to lump everything that we do on Sundays to save a weekday, that the day that has been set aside to save our spirits just doesn't pack a punch anymore? Do we come into worship already tired and weary because we need balance? We are called to do the work of the church. We are also called to rest in the Lord, trusting the provision that God gives us through rest and renewal. It's about balance. Have we let the world tell us that Monday through Saturday is not a good time to do the work of the church, but not the worshiping on Sunday? I believe that we, not just Eastminster, I believe that all of the bodies of Christ need to be in earnest prayer about how we get Sabbath back on our Sundays. Being a good Presbyterian, I know that there's work and there's business, and it takes meetings to be disciples, so I don't have the answers yet. But I do know that I am tired and I am weary, and the more I put on my plate on Sunday, the less likely I am to be full. Jesus, in loving both of these sisters, gives us a glimpse into much needed balance. I know I need it. What about you? And I mean that. What about you? I would love to hear back from you about how you worship and feel on Sundays, or maybe how you don't worship or don't feel on Sundays. God doesn't want any of us, the whole of the body of Eastminster, becoming so resentful and so dry and so wearisome because we are not taking God up on that invitation, that offer to cease, to rest, to renew. God wants us to find the time, to make the time in the midst of our busy lives for Sabbath keeping. And Sunday is the Lord's Day. It is a communal gathering to offer thanksgiving. It's also a day gifted for rest. So how is it that we find that balance of discipleship, allowing us to be filled by the Spirit so that we may be the ones who allow the Spirit to fill others through us? I'm missing Sunday Sabbath. Are we tired and weary because of what the world throws at us during the week? Or tired and weary because we have allowed ourselves to be pulled away from Sunday Sabbath? It's not an easy fix, nor is there an easy answer. But here's something. It may just mean that we have to rethink how we do the work of the church in order that the worship never, ever gets out of balance. The most faithful thing that we can do is do as Jesus did and will do for us next week. And that is to pray and to trust in God's provisions, so much so that we can take the time to rest and cease and rejuvenate so that we can enjoy the Lord's Day. If you're tired and you're weary and you're missing Sunday Sabbath also, I ask you with me to join in prayer about how we and you and I can find that balance so that when we come next Sunday and we stand here, and whether we voice it or not, we are saying to ourselves, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. May our hearts that are weary and tired be renewed by the very presence of God in this place and in every place. Amen.
Please stand in either body or spirit as we affirm our faith together.
We believe in God above us, creator of all things, sustainer of all life.
Lord, it's easy for us to sit here listening to the gospel story of Martha's hard work and Mary's abandonment so that she could sit and listen to Jesus. We all know what it's like to try to get a house ready for company or a business ready for customers or clients. We want everything to be just right and pleasant, and so we worry about the details and we seem to tie ourselves up in knots. Martha claims our sympathy. She is the one doing the majority of the work, so we think. Martha, though, has not found sanctuary. She has become a slave to her fears of not having everything done, of not being a good hostess, a feeling that the responsibility for everything rests on her shoulders. And we also would want Mary, Lord, to get up and to help. But Jesus offers Martha and us a reminder of what is important. He's come to see them. He's not come to inspect the house or judge their hospitality. He's come to share the good news of hope and love. And we need to take some time to listen to that news and to fully feel it penetrate our souls, so much so that it floods out pressures and fears. So, Lord, today encourage us to take this time to breathe deeply in your loving spirit. Help us to be open to including Sabbath keeping as a very strong part of our lives. And in doing that, Lord, you have promised that you will take those things that have made us tired and weary and you will give us rest. And Lord, there are those who need rest of mind, of body, of spirit. And so this morning we especially bring before you Betty and ask that in her grieving, Lord, she will find and hold on to the hope that you have promised us in everlasting life. For Paul, we pray that the doctors, the nurses, the facilities will be able to find out, Lord, what it is that is causing pain, and let your healing hand be upon him and be with Doris. For Mary Claire, such a young age to be dealing with such a horrible thing. And so, Lord, we ask your hand upon her and her parents, and for Johnny and for Frida, as in the aging process, things about the body just don't seem to want to work as they used to. We pray, Lord, that you will watch over and keep them in your care. We are grateful, Lord, that you bring to us those who we don't know, whose names only we know, but you keep them before us. And so we continue to remember Charlie. And Lord, we are ever, ever grateful for Becky and Chad and Mason and Hannah, for this wonderful family that brings so much life and energy to us. And so, Lord, we come to you tired, weary, and yet loved. Help us focus on that we are loved, and give us the strength we need to continue to love others as you have loved us. This we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Jesus has planted those little seeds of love and life in us. I pray that the gifts and the blessings that we bring and offer this morning will nourish the faith and the hope and the love of those who are in need of this blessing. Let us receive God's tithes and our offerings.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you have grown your life in us through the gift of your Spirit. Accept these gifts and the service of our lives as we dedicate ourselves to spread the seeds of your life wherever we go and through whatever we do. In your name we pray. Amen.
No better way to send us out today, and not just out into the world, but out to eat and to fellowship and to enjoy one another's company. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You will say it with me.